visit with the two Jehovah Witnesses this Thursday afternoon, the 9th of November, 72. I don't remember just which afternoon it was. Rick and I just come in from finishing the fence with the Oats, Channel 1 right, and the beginning of the visit with the two Jehovah Witnesses this Thursday afternoon, 9th of November, 72. Channel 1 right, and beginning the visit with the two Jehovah Witnesses this Thursday afternoon, 9th of November, 72.
Yeah, sir, well, it's a busy life, Mr. Miles, and if one one has a lot to do and you have a big ranch, I don't know how much you still farm or something, but it can keep one very busy, can't it?
Well, I tell you, I don't work out here much. I did for a while. I worked out here almost full time for a while. But it cost me so much to do business. I had to let up on it and, you know, work in town a little more.
Yes.
I couldn't make anything. Just too much expense.
Yes, I imagine. Everything's going up, and if a person doesn't have a really big-sized farm, why, they just can't really make a go of it, can they?
Well, you see, there's so many things you got to do yourself now. You got to do your own, most of your own mechanic.
Pick up machinery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the welding and things like that, you see. If you have to have that done, it takes as much time to go get it, and then it costs you so much to get it.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's a lot of things, hurdles that you can't. I couldn't manage.
It's a little different than it was when you were a few years younger.
Yeah.
Well, I stopped by to give you an invitation to our hall for this Sunday, Mr. Miles.
All right, I might just come.
This is
our Sunday. I think I've got a little time.
Do you really?
Yes. What time?
Wonderful. 9:30 a.m.
All right.
That would really be a pleasure for us if you could come.
Yeah, I work better a little later, but I think I could.
You'd have to have an early cup of coffee, then you'd be ready to go.
Yeah.
Her husband's going to give the lecture.
Yeah.
Entitled, Who is Your God? And so certainly I want to encourage you to come, and I hope you can. You've known quite a bit about our work in the last number of years,
I'm sure.
You know Mrs. Jones for a long time.
I believe you're acquainted with Sister Jones, Mrs. Jones,
yeah,
in town.
Yes.
I saw her last week.
Well, I miss seeing her.
Yeah. She's up around, but she is not too good, you know.
Yeah.
Her equilibrium is kind of bad.
Yeah.
And she's afraid of falling, really, what, you know, and when she gets out, she just gets scared, I think, one thing. But she's up in 80, right much.
Yeah. Well, I love to hear her talk, you know.
She's pretty well informed on everything, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But she still is, for that matter, but naturally, her reading is, she's a little back on some of it because her eyesight is not as good, you know. And she and Mrs. Weeks live together. You know, she sold her place.
Yes, I guess I wasn't too much surprised.
Well, there was different things involved there. And her daughter and son-in-law and some up around Jacksonville thought it'd be better for her to get out.
Where's she living now?
She's on 13th Street. What section? That is
Northwest.
Yeah, up like you're going to the Kingdom Hall, you know, out that way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That'd be northwest, I guess.
She'd be in the director,
would
she?
Northwest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She has a nice house, and she said that's another thing. Her house had been there a good while.
Yeah.
And it's one of those sort of Spanish-type houses, you know, kind of a flat roof. And she said that thing was beginning to get to where it wasn't a new house anymore. So I think that's one reason. And then that is sort of zoned for business in there. And I figure she got a pretty good thing out of it. And she's bought a real good property. It's up to the end of the street, and there's no house over here. I think it's some sort of grounds over there, the fence around. I can't remember. I know you can't get in from that way. You've got to come in off of 16th Avenue. You can't get in from that side. And it seems like that's good in a way. And then it's a chain link fence in the back and all around back there. And it's a real nice piece of a house she got.
She must have been a pretty good manager in her time. Taking care of her property and all.
You mean...
Ms. Jones.
You mean selling or buying or just... after Mr. Jones died,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah.
I did think she was. Of course, I guess her daughter helped her a good bit. She's up in Jacksonville, you know. And I noticed she refers quite a bit to her and them, you know. Her name is...
I don't know.
She's overseer up there in Jacksonville now.
I don't remember.
Ferguson.
I don't remember.
I forget what part of the picture she is.
Who do you call on in this section now that I know? Ms. Patterson's gone.
Yes, well, we just do, of course, our house-to-house ministry. Now, my wife studies with Mrs. Wright, right, directly across your driveway.
I know her. Yeah.
And that's the only one we call on. I call down the road on Mr. Jacobs once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right when you turn left at your drive, at the end of your driveway, go left. And after these two houses, it's the next house on the right. It's right when you go around the bend. It's if you look at the house, you wouldn't think anybody would live there. An old colored man lives by himself, and on his own words, well, he has an ism, the alcoholism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's Mr. Jacobs. Now, I don't call on him often, but I'd leave a magazine with him once in a while.
Yeah.
He, too, promised to come to our hall, but he never has. But I guess maybe he was there to help with the foundation. I think he helped Brother Augustus with the foundation. Other than that, I guess maybe he wasn't. But you haven't been to our new one yet. And,
no, I haven't.
And we're getting it just virtually finished. We got the flowers outside and the planter, and
yeah,
it looks real nice.
Well, now tell me about your little community over there. That's right close to Miss Marguerite, what's her name, Joan?
Smith. Yes, well, it's right back that lane.
Right back that
we
lane.
We have a family of 10 different families living back there.
Yeah.
And they're all Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well,
you know, they bought the land from Travis. You know Travis Strother, the man that died in the airplane?
No. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I heard him. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, Travis is a grandson to Marguerite Smith.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yes. Yeah.
So when Travis died, or before Travis died in the airplane crash, well, he had sold his land back there to 10 different families.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, remarkable.
So yeah, things are real nice. We enjoy it. And
that's a new place. You all can do business right there without...
Yes,
that's
right.
Without,
and yet, we can't confine ourselves to that. Let me read your scripture. It shows why. We have to do a little more than just socialize with ourselves. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the Lord Jesus, just 2 or 3 days before he died, I can see, Mr. Miles, there's no... Okay, thank you. The Lord Jesus, just a few days before he died, when his disciples asked him for the sign of his presence and of the conclusion of the system of things. See, they asked for a sign because they understood that his second presence would be invisible. Because just shortly before this, he says, a little while and the world sees me no more. So they really understood it to be an invisible presence. So they asked for a sign. So when he gave the sign, he says, there'll be nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, or world war. He says, there'll be food shortages and earthquakes in one place after another. He says, all these are a beginning of pangs of distress. But then, this is the scripture I wanted to read. Although we've had those things, we've had the world war, at the same time we had the earthquakes, the food shortages, the pangs of distress. We've had many of the troublesome things, but here's the good thing. The Lord Jesus said, "This good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So this is why, then, we cannot confine ourselves to our little community. We have to preach the good news of this kingdom in all the inhabited earth, or at least within the territory assigned to us. We have a certain territory that's officially assigned to the Micanopy congregation, going from the Payne's Prairie down here to the county line, going from Williston to the Putnam County line. That's Putnam County, yes, this way, over toward Palatka. We have to that county line. So within that territory assigned to us, we have to preach this good news of the kingdom. What it means is that the good news that soon God's kingdom will come against the governments on the earth and demolish them. See, it says that we have to do this preaching for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. God's kingdom will come against the nations. So as a commission then from Jehovah, we can't confine ourselves to just socializing. This is why we have to call on all the people. And so we do. We go from house to house. So all of us in this congregation, is about 45 of us, we cover each home about every 6 months.
Well, that's a large territory when you do that.
It is. But we get it covered just about every 6 months. So soon, just like we have always said, the end will come. But it doesn't mean destruction for the whole inhabited earth. It means just destruction for this system. Like Jesus' disciples said, well, it'll be the sign of your presence and at the conclusion of the system of things. It's merely this system, this arrangement on things today. This will end. But there'll be survivors, Mr. Miles. Survivors into a new order of righteousness. So that's why it's good news. See, Jesus didn't just say, preach about the kingdom. He says, the good news of the kingdom. Well, the good news of the kingdom is that the end will come of the wicked people, but those in Jehovah's favor will survive into a new order. That's why it's good news. In other words, it gives some people something to hang on to and something to live for. So, in our preaching the good news, we go from door to door. We make return visits on people to invite them to our kingdom hall. We come to people's home 1 hour a week, free of charge. We give a Bible lesson. That's all involved in this preaching. And then 5 meetings a week, we meet at our kingdom hall, the one we just built. And all of this is part of this preaching of the good news of this kingdom. And so,
I think you do more than we do in the Methodist Church.
I believe, too, we do, Mr. Miles. Yes.
I may not be the fault of the church. It may just be my fault. You know, I don't.
You're being modest.
I have never had much insight into the religious life, and I've just sort of kept my mouth shut about that. But I work with young people a good bit. What time I have, the energy I have, I get them out here and work with them, and sort of help them get their feet on the ground, and also get them to work with people. I'm shifting this from what you were saying into the sort of thing that I have done, and that's not very much. And what I find is they seem so knowledgeable, the young people these days, you know, but maybe they are in some ways. But to do what you do and just go and talk to people, they can't do that. They can't make contact. Now, maybe that sounds ridiculous to you, I don't know. But I found, that's what I find. And that's kind of what I work with them on, you see.
Where do you get the young people from?
I get them mostly, I tell you, I kind of recruit them up there at the campus. And, you see, I've been in those institutions, you see, all my life, and I'm kind of geared to that. And, I don't know, I find I don't adapt too well, at least now I don't. But you see, those chaps will adapt to me pretty much, and I can talk to them. And I get them, you see, through their reading, you know. And, but it's still not what you do. And I don't have as much influence on them as I'd like to have, you see. It's awfully hard to get access to them. Awfully hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They seem to have so much of their own business at hand.
Yes.
That they don't have much thought for you, much time.
That's
for
right. You. They're in a world all their own.
Yes.
Many are on drugs and other forms of. A trip, shall we say,
yes.
And there's such a tremendous generation gap between
yes.
their age and
yes.
others, yes.
yes. Oh, you've got all sorts of things.
See, it's one of the problems on the earth, but it's only one of them. There are so many problems, but what's going to be the solution to all of them? There is only one common solution, Mr. Miles, and that is, as we stated, God's kingdom will rid the earth of the wickedness, and we'll have a new order. Now, that new order will then take care of the end of wars, because there won't be wars then. It'll be the end of the garbage problem and the polluting the earth, both the land, the sea, and the air. Because in the new order, the Bible describes people will turn the earth into a paradise. So instead of polluting the earth, we'll beautify the earth. And instead of destroying the seas, even the thousand-year rule of Jesus will even take care of that. And then the putrefying of the air, well, instead of having the pollution of the air, Jehovah will arrange it that the air will be fit for man to breathe and live on. So this is one of the, and then there's the crime problem. Kingdom of God will take care of the crime problem because there won't be crimes in the new order. But you see, all this comes about through indoctrinating, if you want to use that word, the people about the Bible. Because if we teach them Bible truth, they'll change themselves. Like the Bible says, they'll change their personalities from being ferocious and fierce to a good, kind person. And then instead of polluting the earth, they won't throw cans out the windows or clutter up the earth all over the place. And they'll do their job to beautifying the earth. So here then is the common solution for mankind, the kingdom of God. It will solve all problems. In the meantime, man will endeavor to solve them. But Mr. Miles, the problems of earth today are so huge that really unless God's kingdom would solve them,
yes.
things would just continue to really, really go from bad to worse.
Yeah. You don't even listen so much. You can't make up your mind what you're going to write to Congressman about.
Yes. There? Where are you going to start?
Yes.
Right? Yes, and every man that's going to be in, they claim that they're going to be doing so much better, of course. So, you see, this is the solution for man's problems. This is why it's called good news. Best news there is. We just recently published a new book, Mr. Miles, and I'd like to present it to you. We leave it for a contribution of $0.50, but if you see the title, Paradise Restored to Mankind by Theocracy. Now, when it speaks about a restoration to paradise, it would have to, it insinuates really that there was a paradise once here, and there was. The Garden of Eden was once a paradise. Adam lost it. Christ Jesus, through his shed blood and remaining perfect to Jehovah under all things, through his shed blood, it's going to be restored. This same paradise will be restored to all of mankind, but notice by what government? Theocracy. That democracy is, I believe, the best man-made form of government. But, Mr. Miles, it's inadequate. It will not be the solution to man's problem. Mr. Nixon may have won by a great landslide, and he might do instigate many means to bring peace. But according to the Bible, it's going to be very, very short-lived. We just put a special Awake magazine out on it 2 issues ago, where we had the whole Awake devoted to the coming of world peace. And the Awake stated that what is going to happen, the nations will absolutely solve their problems and they'll bring peace. But then we referred to a scripture in the Bible. It says, when they say peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them. So it'll be a short-lived peace. And when they say it, there'll be sudden destruction by this government, Mr. Miles. Theocracy. That's God's rule.
Is that just a recent book out?
Yes, sir. We released it in July. So 3 months ago.
Inside shows it in.
And yes, and it mentions 72.
72 there.
And the first edition is 2 million copies. Yes, sir. If you think that's amazing, our little blue book, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. You might have one of these.
Yeah.
If I know Sister Jones, she
yeah.
saw that you got one. But this is the edition now.
Is that the study guide?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's
yes,
in,
I went through several of those with a group over
the past. It's in 77 languages, 45 million copies.
Yeah.
In 4 years, published in 68.
Let me tell you, my eyesight is so I can't use my eyes enough to read much anymore.
But this is done. It quotes 853 scriptures.
Oh, this is not the study guide.
This yes, we use this as a study guide. Yes, sir. We have questions on the bottom of the page, and they're answered in the corresponding paragraphs. This is the one that that Sister Weeks had studied with Sister Patterson for a while before she died. Yes, this is the one. See, now, this edition of this book just says 71 languages, but the other edition is 77 languages, and this edition says 40. The other one says 45 million.
Well, now, these come out periodically, don't they?
No, that's published since 68. What you're talking about coming periodically is the Awake and the Watchtower.
No, I'm talking about a little book like this that you use in the little study session.
Yeah, just one came like that. Now, there's others like these. Now, this one is a real good one on proving the authenticity of the Bible.
Yes.
As how we know the Bible is God's Word. You know, now, youngsters, a lot of them say, well, how do we know the Bible's true? Because it's written by men.
Yes.
And also that it contradicts itself, you know. So this, I thought, was real good in going into proving the authenticity of the Bible as well as showing how the Bible does not contradict itself. And I find this goes over big with youngsters, up in the teens, of course.
They can get into that.
To understand
yes.
it. If you haven't seen this, it would be really good. If we leave these, just a contribution of 25 cents.
I'll tell you, I have so much reading. My eyes, I used to be able to, you know, just read through book after book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now I've got to the point where I have to only read the paper.
Yeah.
Yes, well. Well, I understand, though, because there is so much, and really, much of it is propaganda, truthfully.
Oh, yes.
And it's very deceptive. So we can't really accept just anything we read. But that's why we hardly recommend Watchtower literature, because really, we don't want to be prejudiced or biased, but really we believe it's some of the best reading material on the earth next to the Bible itself. Because what's in it is all documented by the Bible. Like this one, it has 853 scriptures in it. 853.
Yes.
And in 190 pages, that means about eight scriptures to a page, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. But now, you see, you have people...
Four scriptures to...
Who do that, you see, who... they're putting the Bible into language that you into applying it and all. So, yes, that would be about as close as you get.
But you know, Mr. Miles, this is something that every Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, every one of them should be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Really. And yet, if they aren't, then we're thinking that most likely there's something wrong with some of these religions. Really, if you analyze it, you can put the blame of the world problems on the shoulders of organized religion. Just think about it for a moment. Who was responsible for World War I and II? Was it not fought between Christian nations? An example, too. Hitler was a Catholic, never excommunicated. And World War II was fought between Christian nations until the last few years of the war when Japan came in. But Japan was recruited by Germany in an effort to, well, conquer the world with them, of course. But now, if the churches really would have been doing their job, we believe that there would never have been a World War I or II, Mr. Miles. And look at the people that commit crimes today. If you take a survey of the prisons, the individuals in prison on Sunday mornings, they go to church. They attend their meetings right there in prison. And yet there they are in prison for a crime committed, claiming to be a so-called Christian. And yet Christianity would denounce thievery and lying and stealing, sex crimes and what have you. So this is why we say that we can put the blame of the world's troubles squarely on the shoulders of organized religion in the churches. What's your opinion on it? Do you have a comment, or do you agree or disagree, or what do you think about it? Tell me honestly and frankly, Mr. Miles.
Well, let me tell you, I don't do well in a religious view. I try a good bit, but I'd be sort of embarrassed just to speak publicly on my view. Now you take this little thing over to town council and make an opening. You see, they do things over there now, trying to get going to where they can be a little more useful over there. I can work with them on that, and I can also get the young people to work with them on that. But you see, that's so different. And you don't have to know so much to do that. But in the in these things, you see, you talk. You see, you don't realize just how much you know.
Well, you know, the scripture comes to my mind there in Paul in 2 Corinthians. He said there that he didn't have anything but what you could have too, and he did not have anything but what someone had taught him.
Yes.
So really, there's no shortcut to it. We just got to dig right down and get it. And that's what Paul said there. You see, Paul was an educated man.
Yeah.
But still, he didn't have this thing. He had to dig farther to get these truths from the Word, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it took. He just had to dig down.
They weren't just handed to him.
No, they're not handed on the silver platter to anyone.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a scripture there said something about study to prove yourself, you know, of these things. It takes study, and it isn't easy to study when you get down to study, you know. You will get pretty tired sometimes.
I get in trouble when I talk to people about religious matters, and I don't
we
know
do
enough.
Too.
Sometimes we do, don't we, Kat?
Yeah. You get the road,
yeah.
But that's all right.
Well, I don't know enough to get out the old ones I get in it, you see. I tell you what,
you might surprise yourself. You may know more than you think for. Maybe you're just a little, have a little inferiority complex or something, you know?
I'm very conscious of it, but I don't know.
I think you'd be able to hold your own. If you have the gumption to speak to youth today and to endeavor to help them, Mr. Miles, then that's commendable.
I don't get too far with that, you see. But I do get to work with some of them. And, you know, in some ways, you think it wouldn't be very interesting. But in some ways, I just can work with them as grown people. Grown people are not so easy to talk to.
Yes, that's right.
You ever notice that?
Yes, I sure have.
That is, they're not for me. They seem to have made up their mind already, or know more about it than I do. I don't get that far with them. I wish you'd tell me about some of the people who live over there, just who lives over there that I would know. Would
Where?
Over there in your community.
I think probably the only one you'd know would be the Smiths and Mrs. Strother.
Yes.
That's Travis' wife. She's
yeah.
a widow, and she...
Yeah.
Lives there with a little children. They'd be about the only ones. The others all moved up from Miami, Mr. Miles.
Oh, is that it?
I think every one of them moved up from Miami except us. We came from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I guess I really don't know or think of anyone. Well, the Reidenauers, they came from Michigan.
Yeah.
But really, that's all that's there, Miamians. And they wanted to get out of that rat race down there.
Yeah. You all have assembled from all directions.
Yes, basically.
Well.
But if you have a chance to come on Sunday, I really hope you take the chance. And
well, I tell you, I have been wanting to come. And
yes, I remember last time I spoke to you, you said that.
And I don't know if there's anything I'm going to do, but I have to do. I think I can make it.
Good. Good.
I'll just try to get there.
Okay. Well, you know where it is, so bring your wife. I don't see her.
She's
not home today?
No, she's out working.
Who lives in the trailer, Mr. Miles?
Nobody.
Nobody? I thought I heard somebody in it when I walked over here.
Well, there may be somebody out there. I had a fella helping me on the...
Oh, I see.
There.
Probably the cows, too. We have the cows down there.
Yes.
Would you be interested in taking the new book? And
let me tell you, I appreciate it, but my visibility, I have a bit of trouble to see getting through the stuff. Now, I'm not making excuses for you on that. I do. And they just throw things at you up there. Where. Let me tell you, I appreciate you all coming by.
This is Channel 1 right around halfway through, and the end of the visit was the two Jehovah Witnesses from over at Marguerite Smith's neighborhood where the new church is, this Friday afternoon, 10th of November, 72. Channel, or Thursday, hell, I don't know when it was, Friday, they didn't come. We went to Ocala, Thursday, maybe. Well, anyhow, Channel 1, right, about halfway through, it's Thursday, the 9th of November, 72, the end of the visit with the two Jehovah Witnesses.